Protests are taking place around Australia addressing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander deaths in custody, while standing in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement against police brutality. But public gatherings significantly increase the risk of COVID-19 spreading. But protesters have highlighted the importance of taking action now. The Wire's Soph Landau.
Protests across the United States have been unfolding since the death of George Floyd, triggering a global reaction to the injustices faced by Black and Indigenous people and people of colour at the hands of police. Upcoming protests in Australia intend to address Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander deaths in custody and also stand in solidarity with protesters in the US. But as Australia continues to manage COVID-19, health concerns remain around mass gatherings. Philip Russo, Associate Professor from the School of Nursing and Midwifery at Monash University, says while the risks are high, safe protesting is possible.
Safe protesting environment would be that you are keeping at least 1.5 metres away from your fellow protesters. Now that is possible, but it's also very easy to breach that. Particularly at a protest where there's lots of emotion, quite probably more people will turn up than what's anticipated. Walking down narrow streets, etc., aren't going to help maintain that 1.5 metres distance. So there's an increased risk, but if it was small numbers in big open spaces, then that would be more likely to be able to be observed. If it was a small protest of 50 people in a big park, then that would be quite achievable to maintain that social distance. But we're probably talking, you know, tens of thousands of people in a city square or in the city streets, and pretty much all cities with that number of people are going to struggle to have the space to keep that social distancing possible.
Associate Professor Philip Russo says protesters should keep in mind what they can do to lower health risks.
We just need to remind ourselves how the virus is spread, and spread through close contact with somebody who's got the virus, and also contact with their environment that they may have contaminated through coughing and sneezing. So in this protest situation, if you were to have close contact with somebody who's got the virus, then you are very vulnerable to picking up the virus yourself.
Restrictions on mass gatherings vary between states and territories. George Newhouse, adjunct professor of law at Macquarie University, says that while people have a civil right to protest, it's unclear how police will respond.
Citizens have the right to protest in a non-violent way. Obviously, in a time of COVID-19 lockdowns, there are special regulations in place about how many people can gather and in what circumstances, but there may well be limits on how people can gather.
The New South Wales police have applied for an injunction in the Supreme Court to make their state's protest illegal. And Victoria Police Deputy Commissioner Shane Patton has confirmed the organisers of Melbourne's protest will receive COVID-19 fines if more than 20 people are present. Meanwhile, South Australia's Police Commissioner Grant Stevens has allowed Adelaide's protest to go ahead, granting an exemption to COVID-19 restrictions. However, protesters must abide by physical distancing rules. Jeanette Midlerer is the founder of the South Australian SOS Black Australia organisation and says protesting in the face of health risks demonstrates how strongly people feel.
For everyone to come out while we have this pandemic, it shows the importance of the cause, that people are willing to put their health at risk to come and stand beside another human being for their rights. We always see that online support, the likes and the shares and all that. We, as Aboriginal people, we see that online. To actually see people come out and physically stand next to us and support us is way better than seeing likes and shares on Facebook.
Jeanette Midlerer says that systemic social issues pose the biggest risk to the health and safety of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
The intergenerational trauma affecting our health, the intergenerational racism that we have to deal with in community affects Aboriginal people's health, education, our health system, our justice system, even as far as finance for Aboriginal people. It's all affecting us, and it's through the system.
More than 400 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have died in custody since the end of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody in 1991. Jeanette Midler says the global outrage presents an opportunity to have their voices heard.
It's been over 30 years and I'm still hearing the same story, but it's a different day. It is a chance for everybody because everybody's talking about black people having a voice in the world. I think it is a great opportunity for us to capitalise on this, especially as Aboriginal people here in Australia, because we've never really had our issues heard or fixed.
Jeanette Midler says Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voices need to be at the forefront of debates for us to see real change in Australia.
Australia hasn't moved forward with their Aboriginal people. It's because we're not included at those conversations, at those high levels, in those policy and legislation decision makers. We need to be there and make the decisions for our people. We have the solutions, and we've been saying this years and years and years. We know what the issues are in our communities and we know how to solve them.
That was Jeanette Midlera, founder of the South Australian SOS Black Australian Organisation. Ending that report from The Wire's Soph Landau.